You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, we hear an update on Portland Christian Center missions, and we get to hear what God has been doing through the people we have sent out.
Well, I want to pick up where we left off last week. We were in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through chapter 9, verse 1. As I went through that message, the one verse I didn't get to was Mark chapter 9, verse 1. So I want to start there this morning, Mark chapter 9, verse 1. And I want to use that particular verse as a launch point to report to you this morning about our missions effort over the past month. We're going to bring you a missions report, a stakeholders report, if you will, of what has happened through our church in the last several weeks. Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus says this. He says, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." Some who are standing here, he's talking to his disciples, will not see death, will not experience death, will not depart this life until they see the kingdom of God has come in great power. Now, what did Jesus mean by that? Well, theologians have different explanations for what they think Jesus was referring to. Some say that he is referring to his resurrection. A few weeks from then, he's going to die and he's going to rise again, and those that are there are going to see that, and that's the kingdom of God come in power and glory. Others say that it refers to the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, where Jesus said, "Look, I am going to send the Holy Spirit, and he is going to be in you, he's going to fill you, and you're going to be empowered to be my witnesses throughout the world." They think that's what he's referring to, and for those who were there on the day of Pentecost, certainly they saw the kingdom of God coming with great power. Others think it refers to what's to follow in Mark chapter 9, which is what we call the transfiguration. The transfiguration is when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the top of a mountain, and there he is morphed, he's transmorphed, he is transfigured into an otherworldly image and a visage. And then Moses and Elijah show up. And the disciples are absolutely stunned by that. And so they saw the kingdom of God coming with great power. And it could be all of those things. It could be one or all three of those. Or it could be something else. But those certainly would meet, I think, what Jesus was saying was going to happen. That they were going to see the power of the kingdom come in great display. But I personally, as I think about this, I personally believe that he is predicting the victory of the gospel. I think Jesus is talking about the victory of the gospel as it gets preached. As he sends out his disciples and the disciples who the disciples make, as he sends out his people and they begin to preach the gospel, I think Jesus is referring to the victory of the gospel as it gets preached and people hear it and believed and are saved for all eternity. And as they are saved, then the kingdom begins to take root in their lives. And when the kingdom of God takes root, everything begins to change. Where it takes root, their lives and families and villages and nations get transformed. There comes what I call a redemptive lift. Wherever the kingdom life is on display, wherever the rule of God comes, all of life begins to change. For everybody, those who have been saved and even for those who have not been saved, life gets better because the life of the kingdom, the values of the kingdom, are being lived out by God's people. And that's exactly what we're seeing through Portland Christian Center mission in the places where Jesus has sent us. We're seeing redemptive lift. We're seeing the victory of the gospel. We're seeing that wherever he has called us or sent us to go, and in fact, he has sent us, this church, to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, the book of Acts, I'm going to refer to that in a minute, chapter 1, verse 8, talks about going to the uttermost parts of the earth. Other translations say to the ends of the earth. Where Jesus has sent us, we have found the ends of the earth. In fact, if you go 5 miles beyond the ends of the earth, that's where we go. We found the ends of the earth. Jesus has sent us to the farthest reaches on the planet, and that is what we are seeing in these places, redemptive lift that happens through the victory of the gospel. Now, as a church, our unique missional task, as opposed to our evangelistic task of preaching the gospel here in Portland, which is important as well, but our missional task is to plant the church where it doesn't exist. That is what God has given Portland Christian Center to do. That is our missionary or our missional task. And Jesus has said that wherever we go, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, will not prevent it, cannot prevail against it. And as we go, and as we proclaim the good news, the church gets established, and the kingdom gets unleashed, and redemptive lift begins to happen, and life begins to change in those places. And so that's why Jesus commanded us later on, in fact, the last chapter of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 15, he commanded us to go into all the world and to preach the good news to all creation. Go to all the world, preach the good news to all creation. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, as I referenced already, he promised that the Holy Spirit would enable our witness as we went. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. You will be empowered to be my witnesses in your Jerusalem, in your Judea, in your Samaria, and to the uttermost or to the ends of the earth. And then in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. When he said the word or the phrase all nations, there's an interesting Greek phrase there, pantaton ethne, which means to all of the different ethnic groups, not just to the nations, but to all of the people groups, especially the unreached people, those who have never heard before, because in all of these verses that I've shared so far, you see this outward push to take the gospel to the farthest reaches of the earth. So there is no other conclusion that we can draw except to acknowledge that God puts the highest premium on his people taking the gospel to people who have never heard before, to what we call the unreached. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't want us to take the gospel across the street or to our next door neighbor. Martin Luther said, we all have a calling to be a missionary to our neighbor. And so it's not about not going to people that have already heard, but there is a special premium that God places on people that have never heard before because he wants everybody to have a chance to hear and respond to the gospel. Jesus is not willing, God the Father is not willing that any should perish, but that all should have a chance to come to repentance. God places a premium, especially on those who have never heard before. And it's our job then to make sure that the gospel gets to those people. Now, in fact, this compassion of God, this passion of God to reach the unreached is not just in the New Testament. It's not just in the Great Commission, in these statements that I just read, but it begins in the very beginning of the Bible. God is concerned that his image and that his name gets borne by his people to all of the world. The Old Testament is full of God's passion. We call it the Missio Dei, that people from every place, people from every tribe and kindred and tongue and nation would lift up the name of Jesus and bring glory to God. That is the passion of God's heart. One of the great chapters in the Old Testament that talks about this is Isaiah chapter 66. It has been called the Great Commission of the Old Testament. It was there in the Old Testament as well. Isaiah 66 verse 19, listen to this. God reveals that at the end of time, and I believe that we're at the end of time. When you read prophecy, when you look at the news, when you think about what's going on in the world, we have to be closer than ever before, obviously, closer than ever before to the end of time. We're at the end of the game. And this is what God says he will do, that God reveals that at the end of time, he will send messengers to lands beyond the sea that have not heard of my fame or seen my glory. Isn't that powerful? Even in the Old Testament. Even before there was worldwide travel, God was saying, at the end of time, I'm going to send my people to places that have never heard of my fame or seen my glory. Friends, this is why Portland Christian Center exists. If you ever wonder why we're a church, what our mission is, what our Missio Dei is, it is this. It is to know God and then to make him known. It is to know God. God wants us to know him. He invites us to know him. He's made himself knowable. And once we know him, then to go and to make him known wherever he opens doors and wherever he sends us. This is our purpose. And I think that we can rightly repurpose Paul's statement in Romans 9:17, which happened to be a statement of God's judgment on Pharaoh for his rebellious and stubborn heart. But I think we can claim this, repurpose it, re-theologize it for our church. This is the purpose of Portland Christian Center, that God says, I have raised you up for this very purpose, to display my power in you so that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. That's who we are. That's what we do. That's why we exist. And even in the Old Testament, even King David got in on the act when he prayed this amazing prayer in Psalm 67, verse 2. David prayed, O God, in mercy, bless us. Let your face beam with joy as you look down at us. Now listen to this. Send us around the world with the news of your saving power and your eternal plan for all mankind. Isn't that amazing? This is what God is wanting to do with us, to send us around the world with news of his saving plan, his eternal plan for all mankind. So this is the reason that God has sent us to the various parts of the world, and this is the reason that God had us send teams from Portland Christian Center to Guatemala and to Ethiopia this past month. And so I want to give you a report. I want you to hear it from some of the people that went. I want you to hear and I want you to see what God did to glorify his name through our missions and our missions teams over this past month. And I want to start with Pastor Matt, who was on a team that went to Guatemala. I'm glad it wasn't Nicaragua. Thank you for going to Guatemala for me, Pastor Matt. Would you come and would you share with the people what happened these past 2 weeks?
Yes, they would be glad to, Pastor Ray. Thank you. And I'm going to ask that Greg and Sandy would also come join me on the stage here as we get going. We're going to have some of our team members share some testimonies with you. Well, just at the beginning of November, actually on November 2nd through November 16th, 14 people from Portland Christian Center joined missionaries Darren and Heidi Walker for a missions trip to Guatemala in a little town called La Estancia de la Virgen. And our primary goal was to assist the Walkers and the local Assemblies of God Church in building a school in that town that would house and educate 500 students. As we'd soon discover through our days of building and hard work, that God had a lot of work in store for us, but he had much more in store for us individually and corporately as a missions team. The church in that town is called Berea Assemblea de Dios, and it's pastored by an amazing woman. Her name is Pastora Ingrid, and you'll see a picture of her here up on the screens. There she is with missionary Darren Walker and some of the team. Under hers and the Walker's leadership and partnership with U.S. build teams, the school, which is called Colegio Cristiano Berea, is planned to be completed in August of 2020. You'll see a picture of what that school is going to look like. There's kind of a 3D rendering here, and it's tucked away in the mountains and open sky, just like that, as you'll see in some of our pictures in just a moment. Upon our arrival, our team focused hard on our work immediately by hauling bricks up to the site and preparing for the week of work. We attended a church that night and went to the service, and then through the 2 weeks of work to come, we would spend most of our time cutting and bending and tying rebar, and you'll see a picture of that here with the team putting together rebar baskets to support the cement. We would be laying blocks and creating walls, and so you'll see a picture here of Naomi trying her hand at laying blocks and stacking walls. We had some great teachers that taught us all how to do that there. And then building forms, mixing, hauling, and pouring cement up three stories of building. We estimated that we hauled and stacked just over 1,000 blocks, tied and prepped thousands of feet of rebar, and mixed and poured about 65 yards of cement. The team worked tirelessly through the day, and we slept like babies at night. If you want really good sleep, go on a building missions trip, and you'll get it. Not during the day, though. When we arrived, the second level on one side of the building and the third level on the other side were completely flat, and they were awaiting construction. When we departed, both levels were walled, columns completed, forms poured, so that the third floor on the left side of the building there then was completed and ready, just about ready for some roof to go on. And then the second floor on the other side was completed enough that soon another floor would be added to that, and then eventually a roof to the whole structure. As a team, we saw firsthand through working with Guatemalan pastors, church members, and the future children that would be going to that school, several of whom came up to help us during the day. We saw how God was already setting aside this school to be a destiny-changing location, and it was really great to be a part of it. You'll see a picture here of the view from the school overlooking the valley that we were building in. It's the highest point in town. It will no doubt be the most desirable educational facility in the whole region. And when you stand on top of the building and you look out over the valley, you can't help but palpably feel that God is on the move in that valley. We would often go up there at the end of the day or during the work, and we would look out over and just say to each other, isn't this the greatest place we could possibly work with this amazing view, doing work for the Lord? We came to build, but God added to that mission one of financial and prayer support for a nearby church plant in a small village, and a kind of adoption through Child Hope, which used to be called Latin America Child Care, that allowed us to sponsor some children to get their education in a unique way. I want to tell you just a little bit of a story about a church plant pastor that we met. His name, you'll see him on video in just a second. His name is Pastor Ramiro, and he's in the back there. And then you'll see in front of him his future deacon board and some of the leaders of the church. We took a truck ride up from where we were building, about 30 minutes on a dirt road in the back of pickup trucks, and held on for dear life, as I think Greg will tell you a little bit about later. And we got up to this little tiny village of about 200 people that had no church at the time. They are in need of the gospel, and they're in need of a shepherd. And so Pastor Ramiro is going to be their pastor, and he is the associate pastor at the church we were working with at the time. We listened to Ramiro, and we actually called him Pastor Ramarito. That's his kind of affectionate name up there. And it's like calling a guy that's really big Little John. Ramarito means Little Ramiro, and Little Ramiro is not so little. And so it was kind of a nice name for him. We started to listen to him speak about his vision for the church and how he needed to get up there multiple times a week, and it's a pretty far drive off the beaten path. And he said that he needed a motorcycle to do it. Someone asked, well, how much does a motorcycle cost? And Ramiro said it was 7,500 quinsales, or about $1,000 US. And then the team started to look at each other, and one person got $100 out of their wallet, and then another person got 50, and then another 20, and then another 200. And in a matter of minutes, we had enough money to buy a motorcycle for Pastor Ramiro in that moment. And words don't really do it justice, so I want you to watch a little bit of what happened that day up in this little town. And it did happen quick. God really touched the heart of the team, and just like that, we were able to be a part of the transportation up to a new church plant in that area. It turns out he was also praying for a red motorcycle, and so look at the motorcycle he bought the very next day. And he got some letters, and he pasted that on the side of it. And then he drove it to the work site 2 days later, and we all got to celebrate with little Ramarito. As a surprise to us, he made that custom graphic, and on the other side it said, Gift of God. Our final day in Estancia de la Virgen, we went to the church, and they had asked us to come back so that we could have a service together, we could exchange some gifts, and they could introduce us to many children who were in line to be sponsored by Latin America Child Care or Child Hope. And this sponsorship would essentially give them daily meals and pay for an education for them. And it's really the equivalent of giving them a private school education. And they get now monthly support, these students do. And so you'll see some of those sponsored students moved by the Holy Spirit and the need for these children. Our team of 14 sponsored 18 students that day and gave them an education that as they now get monthly income from those on the team that have supported them, they'll be able to get all the way through their education. The gratitude of the children and the families was evident and immediate, and it was obvious that this was yet another reason that we had gone to Guatemala. God moved in really special ways on this trip to build a school, to invest in families, to encourage a church, and as he always does, God worked life change and transformation in the lives of those who went on the trip from this church. So I'm going to turn it over for a few minutes to Greg and to Sandy and ask them to share their testimony just about what God did through them and in them on the trip. So Sandy, I'll go ahead and start with you.
I could take 2 hours to tell you about what God did, so I wrote it down so you can make it to lunch. What I witnessed was God's presence all around me. His thumbprint on each of our lives. Terry and Vi were unexpectedly, last minute, put into a leadership role, and they absolutely shined. It was a difficult role, keeping 14 people safe, organized, and encouraged. Dominic and Thomas blessed several local men and their families with jobs for an entire month that they gave out of their own pocket. Naomi, she was our nurse. She had a bag about this big that kept every ointment and pill you could imagine. And if it wasn't for her, many of us would have fallen ill for days and days. Sarah and Arnie's sweet disposition and ability to step into any task that was needed that very day was a testimony of God's grace and love for his people. Doug, Kevin, David, and Greg's abilities and craftsmanship on the site was the work of Jesus' very hands. Their work let the people know that we truly cared for them. Pastor Matt had no culture boundaries. He had no barriers. He spoke the language and the culture of compassion and understanding. As for me, God wowed me. The stories surrounding children before I left on this trip was one that I didn't have skills to care for them. As a matter of fact, children made me nervous. I didn't know how to relate to them. The other lie that was told to me was that I just wasn't called to work with children. My work has been with adults affected by trauma and with animals, so I settled into that lie most of my life. It was nothing I said or even tried to do, but the kids were drawn to me. After the first day in connecting with two little homeless boys that they deemed street rats, I thought to myself, that was weird. I know that God's going to have somebody step up to these kids. There's such a need. It continued to be me. And the number of children continued to grow. It was God within me that made that occur. When I got out of the way and I let God do what he needed to do. The second thing that God did, there was a breakthrough in one of my fears, my fear of heights. I was not told we'd be on a third floor with no railing, no hard hats. I was nervous. I started out by clinging to the concrete blocks in the center of the third floor. Then I began working on the ledge of the building. And then on my last day, God whispered to me that as I took that leap of faith for this mission trip, to leave my business, my family, and my comforts behind, and he would be there for me, he asked me to literally take a leap of faith. I bungee jumped. If you feel disconnected from people or long for supportive relationships, do a mission trip. You'll gain 13 best friends. If you have the opportunity to serve mankind and God's creatures, then take that faithful step and let a transformation of a mission trip happen for you. I leave you with a quote from Mother Teresa. May God break my heart so completely that the whole world falls in.
Well, unlike Pastor Linda, I missed the 88 degrees and humidity in Guatemala, so I've been like bundling up the last few days. But I just want to thank the church for over the years. I know we've had such a legacy of missions, world missions, and growing up here, hearing all the missionaries would come on a Sunday evening. I think that really kind of cemented missions for me. And I mean, I've given for years, but this was the first year where I was like, I just need to go. I need to go and check this out. So my kids are out of the house, and I've got time, and I got vacation, so let's do it. So we decide, Naomi and I, to go and give our time and our energy, and we gave quite a bit of both, actually. And I realized that God takes you out of kind of a comfort zone here. You know, we got our jobs, our routines, and it puts you in a whole different situation where everything's new. And that's where I think he really is able to bless you. He's really able to bless you and then bless the people that are around you too. So I've been messaging Romero, the guy on the motorcycle, this morning, and I said, hey, we need to go. When I'm back there, we need to go ride motorcycles together. And he said, it's too bad I don't have a sense of balance. And I'm like, well, you need to work on that. But we went to the village, and it was like a half-hour drive from where the school was. And you're going up these hills and down these hills. And he was on the back of this pickup truck, like sitting on the edge, on the actual gate, without holding on to anything. He was just like talking. And so he has a sense of balance. I was holding on for dear life, and he was just like, hey, this is all great. So, but I would just encourage you, in closing, just encourage you, if you've never been on a trip like this, check it out. It's life-changing. And, you know, God has a way of giving you just what you need. So, I mean, I don't really have a lot of great skills construction-wise, but never worked with rebar, so that was a new thing for me. But at the end of the 2 weeks, I was cutting it, bending it, doing all kinds of things with it. So so I was just glad that I was able to go and let God use me, and I pray that that this would be an inspiration for some of you to go and do the same.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Sandy. Greg and Sandy were really integral parts of the trip. And what Sandy didn't tell you is by the end, she had, I don't know, it was probably like 10 little children following around everywhere. She looks like a little mother hen. They would just follow her everywhere. They would do what she said. She was the Pied Piper of child labor in Guatemala. It's amazing what God will do, though, in your heart when you give him your time and your talents and your treasure, when you will be obedient. On our final day in Guatemala, we spent some time resting and enjoying some of the natural wonders of Antigua, Guatemala, which is a beautiful place, and you'll see that in the picture here that's up. We were in front of some active and inactive volcanoes. We did some shopping in the market, and then you'll see in that next picture there some of the world's best coffee was served to us in Antigua, right where it was grown, harvested, roasted, and brewed. Thank God for the coffee bean. I just want to say it was fantastic. And I want to, as I conclude, just give thanks to David and Debbie Martin for initiating, for planning, for training us for this trip in partnership with Pastor Linda and with our missions board, and also to Terry and Vi Bitework for leading us masterfully through the project. What a great team of leaders that we had. And thank you, Portland Christian Center, for being a church that highly values giving and going to fulfill the Great Commission. Thank you, Pastor Ray and Pastor Linda, for keeping that in front of us all the time. It really is near and dear to the heart of God, and it should be near and dear to our hearts, to go into all the world, to preach the gospel, to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Well, we're very happy to report that building project was $10,000, and the team went fully funded on that trip. And so the team members paid their own way, and then we funded the project to do the work there. And so it was great that we got to be a part of it. So we have a prayer as a church that we would be the greatest conduit of the Great Commission the world has ever seen. And that means across the street and around the world. And historically, we've done various missions trips. So we've gone to Latin America area. We've got the Little Davy Project. We've got building projects. And then we have the Petros Network trips. And, you know, if you're interested in going on a trip, I would really invite you to send me a note, come see me. I'm going to be at the TVs here after the service. We can build missions trips around skill set. Because here's the deal. I can't do rebar. You know, and I can't lift those bricks. Maybe I could. Maybe I'd be surprised. But Sandy, my goodness, you're impressive on that when you can do that. And so missions trips can look very different. And it can include things like Dornbecker's Hospital. It can include things like Gung Ho Ministry. It can include things like Stevens Creek. It can include things like Royal Family Kids Camp. We just want to charge in and encourage our church family to get involved in missions and outreach. We serve a very missional God, and there's a role that you can play. Today, I represent Petros Network and the trip that we did in Ethiopia, and I've come to learn a few things as I've engaged poverty, and I'm around a lot of pretty extreme poverty, where kids make their own toys out of garbage and trash, where women wear the same piece of clothing, some of them for a year or longer, because it's the only thing that they have. And I've come to believe that poverty isn't a lack of money. Poverty is a lack of hope. And when you can give someone hope, you really change the trajectory of their lives. And most of the people we serve in the Horn of Africa live on less than $1 a day. And in fact, this last few years, we were able to build what we call the TESPA Center, and you'll see it in some of the pictures that we scroll through later on as some of the people present. But you'll begin to see that, you know, it's not, where we're going is not brick and mortar. It's mostly sticks and mud and manure. But where it's hot, or where it's really cold, those are great things to build with, and they work well within that community. I think the greatest gift for me this trip was to begin to see where what we've done over the years, and sometimes you can forget, but we onboarded a lot of widows, and we onboarded a lot of children in these last 6 months, and the contrast between the group that had been with us and the group that is coming on with this was stunning and shocking to me and really caused me to rejoice. And I realized when we help a woman, a widow, particularly if she's got 4, 6, 10, 12, 14 children or whatever it is, we're changing the trajectory of a lot of different people's lives. I'd like to invite up two of our team members who went with us, and that was Lana Silva and Melissa Ruick. And if they would come, I'm going to make them sit on the platform. I don't see them. Oh, there they are. They're sitting in the back. You know, this was the most incredible team. It was kind of a contest who could be the most humble. And so everybody wanted to be the last person to get the food, the last person to get the seat on the van. You know, I had to keep saying, hey, it's time to eat, and pulling them away. And now I've got to pull them in from the back to come here and sit on the front. So we're so glad that you guys are willing to share with us today. One of the things that's very powerful about what we're involved in Petros Network, and this is a model for the church, and I want you to show the slide that has the hand on it. And this is what happens, and this is what we do. We train up a church planter to go into a very rural village and engage that village in all sectors of that community. It's women, it's children, it's agriculture, it's education, it's sports. And as they engage that community in the name of Jesus, we watch this redemptive lift factor happen for us. And currently, we're involved in just under 5,000 villages with a report of 600,000 converts. And we know those numbers are really low in what is really happening out there. We have this same kind of kingdom thinking as we think about our church and how we can relate to the world out there. We want to raise you up. We want to empower you with the things of God. And as you go out into your world, into the sectors that you live and breathe in, that you declare the name of Jesus, and then redemptive lift begins to flow. And your spiritual gifts, they don't end when you walk out the door. We take time in having you learn these through our GrowTrack ministries. Those spiritual gifts, they don't end when you walk through that glass. You carry them with you into the different sectors that you serve in for the sake of the gospel. And that is really what we're trying to model as we engage in Ethiopia and in the Horn of Africa. Because here's the deal. God is in control of it all. And he uses us in the places that we are gifted in to do his real good works. you know, Lana's going to share a few minutes about the church planting section, and but we're really going to focus a lot on the redemptive lift efforts that we did because we haven't given a lot of time to that. But basically, Ray and I left home at exactly the same time. We landed in Addis Ababa, and then he and a team went 80 kilometers, actually, away from the Somalia border, and he did church planting. I need to be careful what I say because I never know who's listening to us. And the last 3 weeks, Petros Network became very known in the Horn of Africa, so we never know who's watching us from time to time. But we went into an area where 12 people were imprisoned. We went into an area that we got notification this week that churches had been burnt down, that homes had been burnt down. It's not a friendly place for the gospel, but we already have just under about 24,000 new believers there just in the last couple of years. And we train and teach them to go out. Well, I went in a completely different direction. And I went with, took along with me Ford Taylor, who is the founder of Transformational Leadership, and Bahailu Shifra, who's part of our congregation. And we went and did what is called Transformational Leadership to three key groups. When we were invited to do this, my first response was, I'm too busy. I can't do it on this trip. This trip is too complicated. In fact, we can't even share with you everything that goes on these trips just for time's sake. But they told me, we're going to take you into one area. This one area is in the northern area, and to my knowledge, there's not really church plants there, maybe a couple of churches. And so when they told me that we would go into this area, I said, we'll do it. When we arrived, they said to us, we're so surprised you're here and that you're willing to go. And we're like looking at them, why? And apparently there was an uprising in the area. We drove up to our first hotel. There was military all around. They had assault weapons upon them, holding them. And the guy leaned over to me and says, well, at least you know that you are safe. So I went, oh, great. Okay, we are safe. And so it was that kind of a start and a launch to our experience. But we went into this area, one area in particular, and I just prayed. And I go, God, give me one contact. And there was a gentleman who worked for the head of the president's office, and he came up to me. I'm a believer. We have no churches in this area. Will you come? And I said, give me your information. I've been waiting for you. And basically what happened is I got to stand before the Oromia state government. I got to sit cabinet. I got to stand before a northern cabinet. And I also got to stand before parliament and declare very clearly what Petros Network does. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter. They said to me, we welcome you into our country. So we went, yeah, that's pretty incredible. When we do transformational leadership training, really what we're doing, and when we offer it again in this church, we're teaching you biblical principles, but we don't say that's found in Matthew 8:11. That's found in Romans 12:2. We share the principles with you, but it's very clearly the gospel as you begin to listen to this. In fact, the definition of our leadership is when we are willing to lay our lives down for those we lead or influence. You are a leader. Does that sound like anybody we know willing to lay their life down for others? So we taught the training, and I'll just say at the very end of it, into these different, we were moving every 2 to 3 days. We were under pretty intense security. But at the end of one of the training, and he was the top public service guy, reports to the prime minister, said to me, you are an evangelical. And I said, yes, I am. He said, are you willing to teach Muslims? And I said, yes, I am. Are you willing to teach Coptics? And I said, yes, I am. Our country needs this. I'm going to help you to take it through every sector. Wow, that's pretty incredible. Another leader said to me, I got him on video and didn't have time to share it today, but said to me, I came for 2 days of training and feel I've gone to church. It has hit me so deep in the core of my soul. And I asked him, I said, oh, what's your faith? He goes, oh, I have no faith. Church was the only word I could use to describe what I experienced. And I thought, wow, that's really extraordinary and really beautiful. In addition to the church planner training, in addition to the transformational leadership, we moved in total over a process of 3 weeks. We were in six different areas. So to say we were tired or had been a bit tired this week is an understatement. And so I'm sure my friends are a little bit tired as well. But we were involved in Borna Zone. You're going to hear about that. Dredawa Zone. You're going to hear about that. Three other areas where I was, some of it friendly, some of it unfriendly. We did medical clinics. We worked in empowering women. We did orphan work. We did the leadership work. And we laid some groundwork for some things that are happening in agriculture. And I will just say this about missions. Missions is about declaring the gospel. But you do that in a lot of ways. You do that with your words, and you do that with your actions. And I hope that's what you're going to hear today. What's your skill set? God has a place for you to do missions, either locally or around the world. You're going to see in this women's empowerment, I just want to give a little bit of a shout out to Rochelle Politz, who really developed the women's curriculum and really led that. With her team was Lana Silva and Eliana Ruick. And then we had also served with our orphans. And then we also had Melissa Ruick along with Jeff Turk and Christy Fisher, who was really a part of this team. And I want you to hear from them. This I'm sold out to this. I think I wish every person would go on a global missions trip. If you can't do that, serve in your local community. Here's someone somewhere. There's something that happens when you serve others that changes everything about who you are. And I had the privilege of working with these two women, and I just want you to hear from them what they experienced.
Thank you. Hi. Well, Ethiopia was my first overseas missions trip, and I had the blessing to go to Borana and Gojo, and I was part of a Rochelle team. And in Borana, I was not planning to go to Borana, but just Sara gently offered to me, okay, you're going this far, go to Borana. And I just say, I'm going. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do, but God knows. And in Borana, I could understand what this it means to be persecuted because of Jesus. We interviewed 196 church planters who really, they just gave up their lives just to spread the gospel. They face all sorts of persecution, and people stone them, and people want to kill them, and they are just there and thriving, and they are really committed to Jesus. And our church and all the sponsorship that through Petros and that goes to their lives, it's fulfilling the goal and make disciples, not just in U.S., but also in all nations, including Ethiopia. And teaching, I could see Pastor Ray and his team teaching them, because all of the church planters was asking us, I want a spiritual growth. I don't know how to go more than this. I want a more learning more, have more strategy to reach the unreached. And they go and they share with them. And one of the church planters was sharing that his biggest challenge was with people addicted to alcoholic drink. They were just saying to them that they were broken the church, they would kill them, and he was just concerned about this. And he shared that in one of these days, he just said, okay, let's worship. Let's worship until God move his hands and change the situation. And he was walking to church, and then the 12 guys started to say, okay, go to our church. We're going to go there later and break everything. And he just looked and just in his mind, he just said, hey, Jesus, could you transform this alcoholic drinking water? And he went to church. They gathered, and they gathered like 400 people really easy. And they were worshiping, and he just said, I'm not going to preach. We're going to worship until God move his hand. And here come these 12 guys. And the 12 guys, he was afraid. I just say, they are going to break everything. And just keep up and just say, let's worship. Until the guy stopped him and just say, tell me about your Jesus. Because I don't know what you do, what he did. But all the alcoholic drink is water. We can't find any to buy. We really want to understand what does that mean to believe and love a Jesus that you say is awesome, but we can't really comprehend. We just saw he's acting like now. And these people are really courageous. They walk between 6 to 100 miles. They run once people are trying to kill them. They are stoned during the church time. They really pay the price, let's say like this. They are really willing to sacrifice their lives to spread the gospel. Gojo, we see church, our church and Petros just doing this social work and showing Jesus through social work. Gojo was a special. Didn't surprise me much because I'm from Brazil. I've seen poverty. I think they are a little bit more than my country, but some places in my country is like Ethiopia. But in Gojo, we are giving what Pastor Linda just mentioned, hope, because women in that place is really plenty, but they also really, they don't have a job like we have. They pretty much transport the wood fire to cook, the water, they take care of the kids. And the verse of the Bible that once I see the pictures of the girls and the widows and how much impact we are doing in their lives, is Proverbs 31:25 that says, she's clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Because in this trip, I just learned that kids are, they sell their kids when they can't feed them. They sell 5-year-old boys to work in a farm, and they sell girls for sex trafficking or to marriage because they can't feed. They are not selling the kids to solve the family problem. They pretty much exchange them for a plate of food. And the work that Petros does is really giving hope and restore this dignity to this thing that Jesus loves you and he wanted the best for you. And we are going to teach you. Rochelle did an outstanding job teaching math to the widows. And you can see the impact of addition and subtraction in the life of widows that we kind of don't understand it is here. Because we're too educated to understand the power of subtraction and addition in the life of who is learning. And we could see in the last group that's in the program for a longer time that they are thriving. They are literally what we call succeeding. They can feed their family. Success there is different. Success for them is I'll have 2 meals and I'll keep my kids with me. And I'll have a home. That problem is like 1% if of what we live here. And for the teenager girls, is like they don't have to fear the future because they're not going to be sold to sex trafficking or young marriage. They can be with family, they can go to school, they can choose what to do because we are giving to them the blessings from God and saying to them, I believe you, I love you, you are important to me, but you are also important to God. And for me, we are planting seeds of a bright future in the hearts of 101 kids and more than 65 widows. And that place is tough. Like, their life, they walk a lot. Their water is, like, almost brown. And we are just showing them that we love them, but more than that, that they matter to God and that we are giving them hope, but we are giving them Jesus. That is everything they need. And I'm really grateful for this church and for Petros, for the donations. And if you ever think to go through a mission trip, don't be scared of Africa. It's not half of what we think it is, to be honest with you. I overplanned it for the trip. You can talk to me. But like, all immunizations possible I took and 2 bags of medicine, but like it's not that dangerous. And if you know how to hug, smile, and hold a pencil, you are ready to go. Just go. This is my. And I think from this church planter, I learned from him 2 things. He just mentioned to me that we need to ask God to give us the ugly, I don't know how to say this word, ugly design, like desire God above everything, but special to demonstrate God's love to the unreached. Because we get super comfortable in our own lives that you forget to the guy that served the coffee in your Starbucks. We forgot the person that is two steps from us at work. And we forgot that we need to show Jesus to them and be more intentional. I think we all look for inner circles to survive, but sometimes we get super comfortable that we don't let nobody in, no matter if it's believer or not. We get like, and he mentioned to me, he just say, my ministry grow because I'm always praying to God to help me give wisdom to reach the unreached. But I'm always paying attention if I'm not too comfortable around the ones already believe, because it's not my call to be surrounded by the ones that believe. It's always welcoming people, so to bring them to Jesus. And that's my...
Oh, I love you so much. She was so scared to speak today. I made her, and I hope you loved her accent and can hear her heart through this. She did such an amazing job with these children, and we do have 100 orphans. She spent time with each one of them, giving gifts, telling them that they were loved and that they were special, and it was really powerful to see that and be a part of that. And your business is with trees. Yeah. Counting trees and selling lumber. So we're, you know, and so she found a place on a missions field. The other thing that we really was lifting up the TESFA medical clinic, and God gave me a gift when Melissa agreed to come and her daughter Aliana, and I just want you to hear your heart. You're very familiar with Africa.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Start praying now, because the first service was not very pretty. And thank you, Miss Allie. I have my tissue. The concept of missions is not new to me. In fact, it's very familiar. Many of you know that my folks were missionaries to East Africa for the better part of my life. I was married a long time when I had finally been in the States longer than I had been overseas. But the last 11 years of my folks' career was in Ethiopia, and what a privilege it was to return to Africa, one. First of all, because I was able to take my daughter with me and introduce her to that part of my life, so different, and you have to experience it. Words only convey so much. And that's why you've heard all of us today say, you've got to go do this. You've got to go take part. Just do it. Put your fear aside. You can go bungee jump, apparently. Put your fear aside and really do this mission thing. Because our words cannot express to you how meaningful and impactful not only it will be for your own life, but for those who you touch. More importantly, for them. We feel like we're going for them, and we come back filled up so much more. My husband taught me that. The second reason this was such a wonderful trip for me, it was my first time that I could use my clinical skills on a mission. Kevin and I have been blessed over the years to be a part of many Latin America Child Care, now Child Hope, projects in South and Central America and Mexico. And so I've carried lots of block. I've slung mud for Ernie. But this was the first time I've been able to use some of the clinical skills that I have. And super blessed to go with Jeff Turk, who is a physician in Colorado and who is partnered with Petros and Christy Fisher here at PCC. So our very first day, we landed early Sunday morning in Addis, and we drove about 3.5 miles up into the western region of Ethiopia and a region called Oromia, way up in the mountains. I thought it was cold, y'all. So I'm not with Linda, and thank goodness for Christy, because she told me how to make hot water which was a new one for me. You have to flip a little switch. Anyway, so this week I'm thankful for hot water. So that very first day, we were basically, our initial responsibility was to intake 13 new orphans, or children who were with families, maybe a mother, but they were not able, they're not able to support their kids, really. So we don't only do a physical assessment of them, but we do a social assessment of them. And that's what I want to share a little bit about this morning. And I was brought to tears so many times, the tragic, heartbreaking stories that we heard. And I'm just going to share a snippet of that. So the first young girl stoically shared that her father had been murdered, leaving her mother and several siblings with no means to support themselves. Another father had committed suicide, given up, couldn't do it any longer, leaving her to take care of young siblings. One young boy, he and his mother were being housed by another widow who had an extra room, and his mother left one night and was never seen again. And he was left with this widow who, God bless her, took him in. No blood relative, took him in and was caring for him with the very meager, I mean, she was already a widow, and doing her best to provide the very basic needs and maybe give him a meal a day. Another girl reported that she lived alone with her mother, although she had a sister and a brother, and we had to dig a little bit deeper, and she finally told us that her brother was with relatives a long way away, and he was herding cattle for that family, and that her sister was living with an aunt and working in her shop. So we needed to dig a little bit deeper. Why has this family been torn apart? And she finally confessed that she was HIV positive. Each of she and her siblings had a different father, and her mother had contracted HIV and passed that on to her at birth. And to protect her siblings from her, her mother had sent her siblings away. Those are some of the stories. Gives us a lot to be thankful for this week. I want to leave you with a passage from Matthew. Matthew tells us that Jesus was traveling through the villages with his disciples, teaching and healing. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.'" You've heard a lot of ways this morning that you can contribute, that we all can contribute and participate in missions, whether it's here in Portland, or you name the country or city around the world. There's opportunity there. And we're blessed with a pastoral staff here who supports that. And you heard Linda's offer. Come, share what your skill is. The harvest is there. We just need worker, and there's more workers than a few of us can do. So pitch in, participate. You'll be blessed for it.
Thank you.
If you were to talk to any of these from either team, or what you saw a little bit on the stage here, is what I call a dislocated heart. When I first went to Africa, Ethiopia, by the end of that week, my heart was on the other side. God had done something in me that has changed my life, and I will never be the same. And when you see what God can do through our efforts, when you see what God does through our efforts of praying and giving and going, you're just never the same. For this very purpose, I have raised you up, Portland Christian Center, that I might display my power and that my name might be glorified in all the earth. So thank you for being a part of this and of sending us around the world with the great news, the good news of God's saving power. It's making a difference. And by the way, this is the first time I've ever heard of the miracle of turning wine into water. That was awesome. I hadn't heard that before. That's a new one. So, you know, maybe if you know someone that's struggling with alcohol, just start praying that. Turn that wine into water. So what's next for Portland Christian Center? There's a number of trips that are being planned in the future, some that are going to happen next year. But one that's already on the books is what we're going to be a part of when we send our students, our high school students, out on a mission to Mexico in June. It's the priority youth choir is going to go, but it's open to all of our high school students as well. And they're going to be going into Mexico and doing ministry, doing evangelism, serving the poor, and literally building a house for a poor family. And so our final missions offering this morning is for that purpose. We want to give them a head start. They are going to be raising their own funds to do this. They have to work hard. They have to raise a lot of money. But we want to invest as a church in this. And so our final offering today will go toward this student missions trip in June. And I want you to see just a brief video. I want you to see the person who leads this ministry in Mexico and what he has to say in inviting us to come. So watch this and let's see what
Carl
Huss has to say.
In the dirt, on the ground, with two special needs kids, Yuvia sat there crying, feeling like everyone had forgotten them, especially God. Hello, my name's Carl Huss, and I've been an Assemblies of God minister since 1992. I've been on 100 missions trips, and we have spent the last 3 years full-time here in Vicente Guerrero, Mexico. One of the great things that we get to do is partner with churches and youth groups and choirs to make an impact. One of the things that you'll get to do, besides bring the hope of Jesus, is to build a house, share your story at an outreach where you get to sing, work with local churches that need to hear the hope because they feel abandoned. They feel like the government's abandoned, they feel like God's abandoned, and you have the opportunity to bring hope by what you share, your story. As Yuvia's crying out on that dirt with these two special needs kids, her husband has left, she simply said this after we built her a house. She's like, Carl, what you don't know is as I was sitting there all alone crying out to God with my kids, we called and said, we're going to build you a house. And for the first time, she realized, you know what? God knows my name. God cares about those that have been forgotten. We are going to change lives and bring the hope of Jesus through your story, through your song, to make a powerful impact. See you in June.
Amen. This is how we change the world. This is how we change the world. So I'm going to ask for our ushers to come, please, and I'm going to ask you to display some of your famous generosity for the things of God in this missional offering, and may the Lord bless you as you do. Father, thank you for what we've heard today of just the stories, the testimonies of your glory, your fame being lifted up around the world in these faraway places. Thank you that you put that passion upon our hearts to reach the unreached. And God, I pray that you would continue to send us around the world with news of your saving power and your eternal plan for all mankind. And now in this offering as we give, I pray that you would bless it. I pray that you would multiply it. I pray that you would use it to dislocate the hearts of our students when they go. They'll come back different. And Lord, I pray that you would bless each and every person who gives and sanctify every sin that is given in this offering. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.